Sports with Evan and Tiki. Middays 10 to 2. WFAN. WFAN-FM. WFAN-FM HD1 New York. And Odyssey Sports Station.
Welcome back to the Fan. Lori Rubenson here with you. The Giants played preseason game and had joint practices with the Miami Dolphins. Admittedly, the Dolphins are atrocious, but the Giants look great. What do we make of all of that and of what we've been seeing so far this summer from the Giants? We bring in the Dean of Giants writers, Paul Schwartz from the New York Post. Hey, Paul, how are you?
Hey, Lori. Yeah, you're right. The Dolphins look like one of the worst teams in the league, and the Giants' backups look great, right? When you know what? We think the Giants have more depth this year, so having backups look great is not a bad thing.
No. By the way, Paul, I want you to clear something up. I want to know, were you lonely in the press box at the preseason game against the Dolphins? Rumor had it that while a lot of people showed up for the joint practices, you might have been flying solo in terms of the journalists who were there to cover that preseason game.
Yes, your sources are correct. There weren't a lot of people at the joint practice. There were four beat writers at the joint practice, but I was the only one who stayed the extra couple of days for the game. So, yeah, I mean, it was funny. You know, you go into the press box and there's all the names, right, to see where you're sitting.
Sure.
And it said Giants beat reader, and it had my name number one, and then a whole blank list of nobody. And then I got to the section, you know, the visitor writer section, and it was, I mean, I could have laid down. I could have done, you know, put out a whole feast for me. Now look, that side of the press box was virtually empty. Now the other side, you know, there were Dolphins. It wasn't a big crowd of, you know, Miami Dolphin beat riders either for a preseason game, but it was unusual. Yes. And then, you know, going into the locker room and it's like, it's me and a bunch of players.
Well, we thank you for your service and for covering it. So, all right, Paul, big picture. What do you take away? What did we learn from the joint practices, which are usually so important, but what do you make of it when a team, we know the Giants are improving and the depth, you made that point. I think that's an interesting one that we could see on the field with some of the backups, but what do you take away when a team seems like the Dolphins seem like they might actually be the worst team in the league this year?
Yeah, I know, you know, going into the week, some people in the Giants organization, you know, told me that, look, this is, you know, Dolphins don't have great talent. So, you know, we feel that when we go into this joint practice, look, nothing's graded or, you know, there's no score,
sure,
obviously. But, you know, I remember a couple of years ago, remember when the Giants had a preseason game with the Lions in Detroit, and mm-hmm. they had a joint practice with them, and it was like, that looked like one of the most talented rosters in the league against a team that was rebuilding. I mean, it was stark when you watch the joint practice. It's like, that's a good team, that's not a very good team. And you could definitely say that was not a very good team with the Dolphins in the joint practice, but look, what have we been writing about and talking about, you know, all summer, that the offense, it's a work in progress. You know, Jackson Dart, it's a, you know, new head coach, mm-hmm. new offensive coordinator, new quarterbacks coach, new playbook. It's going to take a while, and it has taken a while, but in the joint practice, it looked better than it has all summer, considering it was against another team. So that was a really good sign.
Now, one thing I did notice about the game was that we are this new offense and the new coordinator and the new coaching staff. We are trying to figure out like what this offense will be like. And we thought that Matt Nagy was going to try calling the game from the sideline. He had called the first preseason game from the booth. And then we saw him in the booth again and with Greg Roman sitting next to him. So what do you make of that? And is there anything we should take away from that in terms of Nagy, his play calling, you know, preferences and style, and in particular, the presence of Greg Roman sitting next to him as we try and figure out this offense?
Well, John Harbaugh is giving them carte blanche, you know, try it here, try it here. You know, Harbaugh's not saying, I think you need to be down on the field. Whatever you think is the right and the best and most comfortable, you do it. And that's what they're going through. They have one more, you know, trial. And the operation has been good, all the substitutions and the communication. So that's good. Now it's going to be about what Nagy really wants as a preference. And, you know, I'm not shocked that Greg Roman is kind of sitting with him as his right-hand man. He is a real nuanced offensive mind. We know he's really good in the run game. So, you know, he's been an offensive coordinator. I'm not surprised. And, you know, he's not a position coach. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not the quarterback's coach or the tight end's coach. He's a senior offensive analyst. So that makes complete sense for him to be in the press box. He doesn't need to be on the field. Mm-hmm. He's not dealing with any one position. So I think that tandem working together is smart. And this whole, I talked to Brian Callahan about this a week or two ago, and, you know, he was saying this is new and this is different and this is interesting that we have Nagy, former head coach, Callahan, former head coach. They have a bunch of other people. I mean, Willie Taggart has been a head coach in college for like four or five different teams. The offensive line coach was the head coach at Rice. So, there's a lot of brain power in there. And I asked Callahan, you know, is there a danger, you know, the old too many cooks in the kitchen thing?
That's what I was worried about.
And you're blending an offense. This is not Nagy's offense. This is not Callahan's offense. And it's not the Ravens offense, even though Brian Callahan told me John Harbaugh is very involved. Like what he wants is what he's getting. You know, the things he wants to see, he's getting. And Callahan told me this could be an issue, but not with this head coach. It's not going to be because he laid the groundwork and he laid the law down right away. I'm bringing you guys in. This is our offense. This is the Giants system. And he said it's not going to go south with John Harbaugh because that's just the kind of coach he is.
All right, because that was one thing I was worried about is that the offense ends up being a turducken. Like, because it's nobody's offense, it's sort of everybody's offense, it ends up not being, it's just diluted and not a pure version of anything that any of them would want. You know, too many compromises, and it's not as good as it could be.
Well, the interesting thing is, yes, and I think that's a fair, you know, thing to be concerned about or interested in, and I think it'll be fine now. But I think the real test will be, let's say the offense struggles mm-hmm. for a game or two.
Right.
Now the adjustments, is it Callahan saying, I think we should do this? Nagy mm-hmm. saying, we got to stick with this. Greg Roman saying, we got to, you know, do a little different in the running game, more of what I want. So I think that will be the real test. Look, if they come out and play well against the Cowboys on offense, it's fine. But look, Nagy is the offensive coordinator, you know, and Harbaugh has set them straight. This is the pecking order. And, you know, he's a very strong head coach. And I've been told he coaches the coaches. He is not afraid in a team setting to say, we got to run that back. You know, the offensive line didn't do a good job on that. And we didn't coach that right. Right, coaches? You know, we didn't do this right. We got to do it better. He will say that in a group setting. So it's like everyone's accountable. That's a big word around the Giants the last four or five years, right? I mean, look, they gave this guy 5 years and $100 million to mm-hmm. carte blanche to the program pretty much. They think he can handle all of this.
What would you say, I'm sure you've seen it, about the Ravens players who are now saying, oh, under Jesse Minter and the new coaching staff here, we suddenly have all kinds of attention to detail that we didn't have before under John Harbaugh. What are your thoughts on hearing that?
Well, I don't think you can just say that's garbage and ignore it. Look, anytime a coach leaves, there will be some players who like the new system. You know what I mean? I didn't study to see exactly who said what mm-hmm. and do they have bones to pick with Harbaugh. Look, there has to be a difference between a guy who was in his 18th year right. with the same organization and a young guy coming in. This freshness, this done things a little different. Does John Harbaugh not have attention to detail? That's garbage. I mean, there's no question. But How does that attention to detail manifest itself? You know, maybe these players, you know, like what Minter is doing in certain other things. Look, he can't be harder. You've read it and seen this stuff all summer. 2.5 hours, 2 hours and 45 full pads. Harbaugh is not playing around here. So, look, years ago they got OTAs taken. Two or three different occasions they got OTAs taken away from them in Baltimore, of course, because of some, slight CBA infractions, too much contact in drills, keeping them on the field too long. Players complained to the union, mm-hmm. and they docked them OTAs. Mm-hmm. So, he's going to do too much versus too little. This summer, I think it's right on the edge. It's not too much, but it's definitely not going to be construed as too little. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, and you make a fair point, which is that even with attention to detail, if you're preaching and teaching a certain way and players have heard that message, for a player who, if somebody's been there 5-6 years and heard that message, some of the details maybe don't sink in, and then you hear something fresh and it sounds different. Let's switch to some of the specific player and roster decisions. And of course, one of the ones that has gotten a lot of conversation, is most on the fans' minds, is the wide receiver position. And it's a position people are interested in anyway. But of course, with the presence of Odell Beckham Jr., how many wide receivers do you think, or are you hearing, that the Giants will keep on this roster? And then what does that mean for the chances of Beckham making the roster?
Well, it's right there. It's right there. I mean, 7 maximum, 6 more likely. Mm-hmm. Look, this was all predicated this summer on, what's Malik Nabers going to be? Is he going to be ready? Be ready? He's going to be ready. Okay. Now, barring a setback, of course. I think they're going to, John Harbaugh said today they may take the red jersey, the no contact jersey off him this week. But he said it's not a big deal if we have 3 weeks. And I agree with that. I mean, they have 3 weeks to get him up to speed to play in a regular season game. So if they wait another week, I think they should err on the side of caution. Look, this is not like he's getting ready on September 13th. He has to be able to run a marathon. No, he doesn't. He has to be able to play what? Give me right now.
A certain number of snaps. Yeah.
Right. What do you think? 30? I mean, it's 40. It's not going to be 70.
Even if it's 25 or whatever it is, but like a certain number of snaps for that first game, and then you ramp him up.
Yes. But look, he's going to be ready. So look, you have your fingers. Can you count? I'll count on my fingers too. Okay. Malik Nabers is on the team. That's one. That's mm-hmm. my left thumb. Okay, good. Malachi Fields is going to be on the team. Yes. I'm naming him second, not because he's going to be the number two receiver, but he's unquestionably going to be on the team.
Guaranteed a spot. Yep.
Right. Calvin Austin is going to be on the team. Mm-hmm. 3.
Is Calvin Austin going to be, or Braxton Berrios, who's going to be the number one punt returner?
One of those two, I would say. And
Calvin Austin's
going to be on the 3. Darius Slayton is going to be on a team. And it's interesting because in the game, now Darius Slayton is uncuttable because of his contract, okay? So I asked John Harbaugh after the game about Slayton, and he said, that was good to see. And then he paused, Harbaugh, and he said to me, I needed to see that. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
Right after. Now, I don't think he meant I needed to see that because or else he was going to get cut. It was like I needed to see that because we've been bringing him along slowly with, the sports hernia. And he's not, out there like, oh, my God, I have to take every snap to make this roster. He's a veteran. He's a good guy. He works hard. But if you didn't know anybody and you just watched number 18, you wouldn't say, oh, my God, that guy has to be on the team from what he's done this summer. Mm-hmm. So it was very interesting that John Harbaugh said to me, I needed to see that from him. So he's going to be on the team, and that's 4, right? Mm-hmm. I think Darnell Mooney has been okay. We knew that all 3 of them, Odell, Juju, Smith-Schuster, and Berrios wouldn't be on the team. I think Darnell Mooney's on the team, okay? I do. So that's 4, right? 1, 2, 3, 4.
No, four. That's five. Yeah, that's five.
That's five with Slayton. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Now, Braxton Berrios, I mean, I think he's their number one returner. I really do. Now, a lot of people thought yesterday, oh, my gosh, he's not in uniform. He must have a spot locked up. No, he had Harbaugh told me he had a slight little soft tissue issue. So they said he could have played. He could have not played. We'll keep him out. So that's six. But that's six, right?
And we haven't.
How many are we keeping?
Yeah, well, so then that's the question. And you mentioned, but we didn't count Mooney yet, right?
Yeah, no. Let's you see, we both screwed up with our fingers here. Neighbors one, Fields two, Austin three, Slayton four, Berrios five, and
Mooney six.
Mooney is six. Okay, now the seventh receiver does not play on offense. He doesn't. If there's a seventh receiver, he is a guy who is inactive on game days and can play special teams. Does that sound like Odell Beckham Jr. to you?
No, but the question would be, when you watched Odell Beckham this summer, well, two questions. One is, I think Mooney has had enough of a career and played well enough at times that you thought he would play a pretty big role for this team. However, if he's going to end up being, let's say, wide receiver five or six on this team, is there any chance that with some team, we saw what happened with Houston's wide receiver situation, is there a chance that some team comes along to the Giants and wants Mooney and is willing to trade for a decent draft pick? Or do you think Giants happy to have the depth that Mooney provides?
I mean, that's not a crazy scenario. I mean, I don't know what Mooney's market is, you know. Now, you know, you saw the play with Odell, you know, in Miami Gardens, right? You saw it. And
for those who missed it, there's a play that hit Odell Beckham Jr. in the hands and would have been a really nice catch, but he drops it. And when you're trying to make a roster, dropping a touchdown pass in the end zone is not helpful.
Right. Now he went up in the air, but it was thrown right at the back of the end zone. We've seen him make that play.
Yep.
Numerous times, and it's not like, oh my God, that's the catch. It was like, yeah, that's Odell. That's a hard catch, and he makes it. Now, I asked Odell after the game. He said, I'm pissed.
Yeah.
This is the one that keeps me up at night, you know, but it's interesting. It's a play I know can make. John Harbaugh, when I asked him about it, you know, because, you know, that, like you said, you know, you can make that catch, you know, you got to make that catch. And Harbaugh said he was in the air a long time. He got up, way up, and he knows he can make that play, and he said making it would have just been spectacular. I looked at that play as a positive in his favor. I thought it was impressive where he was at going up to get the ball. Now, you know, maybe not. You know what I mean? I mean, he wasn't going to say to me, yeah, 5 years ago he makes that catch, and that's why he definitely would be on the team, and now I'm not so sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know if it was a positive for him. It wasn't a positive for him. It's going to be tough. I think it's going to be tough. And I don't think sentiment is going to be the bottom line here, because they went into this, and I know Joe Shane and John Harbaugh had this discussion. And money is not the issue, right, with all these guys. They're all
right.
They're all making very little money. So it's not like they keep Odell and don't keep Mooney because of the money. That's irrelevant. I know they discussed it and said, look, we'll sign him. If that's fine. You love the guy. You know, I don't think the Giants front office thought Odell had a whole lot left. You know, he looked a lot better in Miami last night than he did, you know, 2 years ago in Miami. He looked shot in Miami when he played for the Dolphins. So,
you
know, we'll bring him in and, you know, we'll give him the shot and everything, but, you know, will you cut him? You know what I mean? Is he a guy that you can bring? And Harbaugh said he spoke to Odell, you know, very plainly about it. And, you know, look, I want you to be here. I want you to be great, but we may have to cut you. And Odell knows that. I asked Odell after the game about that. And he said, look, I know what it means. I know what it means. I know I'm right there. You know, I'm right there. He knows it could go either way. He knows it.
Now, do you think that Odell Beckham Jr., if he does not get kept by the Giants at this point in his life and career and what's going on and everything, he clearly has shown, I mean, when you watch him move, and we know the hands are still good, that if he wants to just play on a roster, there is some NFL roster that would be willing to sign him. Do you think he would do that, or was this about wanting his last chapter to be specifically at the place where it all started with the Giants?
That's a really good question, which I don't think I've asked Odell. You know what? I mean, this sounds blasphemous. What happens if the Giants say, you know what, it's a numbers game right now, but we'd like you to stay on a practice squad? I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. on the practice squad? I don't know. But if he's hell-bent to return and play for the Giants, then, you know, practice squad guys get called up, right? You know, they're the next in line. I don't think he would go just anywhere, but what happens if a Rams receiver goes down and he won a Super Bowl with the Rams and he gets cut by the Giants and Sean McVay says, come on over and, you know, we know you can run 15, 18 plays a game for us. You know, certain teams I think he would go to. But I don't know. You know, I don't know. I think Odell is a realist to a point, you know, to a point.
We're talking to Paul Schwartz from the New York Post on the Giants. I want to switch to so we talked about the wide receivers. Let's also talk about the defensive backs. And is this the position group that maybe there's the memes that we see on social media, like how it started, how it's going. And from where it started with the Giants secondary when we came into the spring to what our perceptions are of some of these players getting better. Is this the group that's surprising you the most in terms of the coaching staff and what we're seeing them be able to do with this group?
I would say no. I mean, I don't think there's a true number one cornerback. You know, I don't. I mean, Paulson Adebo is paid like one.
Yep.
But he did not play great last year. He has not been lights out this summer. So I think there is some depth there. John Harbaugh said that he thinks it's a deep group at cornerback. But
is Greg Newsome the number one corner right now, just based on, like, he's a better player than Adebo?
I don't even know if I'm willing to say that. I mean, Adebo and Newsome started in Miami because they did not play the game before. If you would ask me right now, you know, you got to put some money on it, I would say Adebo and Greg Newsome will start. I'm not convinced that Adebo is like sinking like a rock in John Harbaugh's eyes and he's not going to start him. I just don't think that's true. I don't think he looks at him and sees Deion Sanders out there either. But yeah. So I would say those two are the starting perimeter cornerbacks. I mean, Colton Hood is banged up a little bit of a calf. He's supposed to come back. They're very high on him, 37th overall pick. But he's hit up and down. He looks like a rookie. He looks like a rookie cornerback. I've seen very often second and third round guys, the Giants draft, and they have all the size, speed, weight stuff, and they got a nose for the ball, and they're tough guys, and they come in and they struggle as rookies because that's what rookie cornerbacks do. Mm-hmm. You know, Deontay Banks, you know, I'm writing about him. Here's a little news flash. I'm writing about him for tomorrow's New York Post, and I spoke to him. He's hard to track down, but I spoke to him in the locker room yesterday. And, you know, he is the guy that, you know, your theory about, you know, this new coaching staff, is doing very well with Deontay Banks. He said, they let me be me. I have fun out there. You know, it's no secret he was better under Wink Martindale as a more of aggressive press corner. Most players were not better under Shane Bowen last year.
Yep.
So this is a better scheme for Deontay Banks. And so Deontay Banks is going from a guy that when they said, you know, they said, okay, yeah, we'll keep him on a team. He's in the last year of his contract. You have to make the team. He's made the team. You know, now it's a matter of what role he has. I don't think he'll start, but he'll play. And, you know, the nickelbacks, you know, Drew Phillips gave up a 30-yard completion last night, and then he made two good plays and
forced,
you know, forced a fumble.
Yep.
And, you know, so that's a position that's in flux. But I think the defensive backfield is still, you know, the safeties, Newbin and Holland, Pinnock. Okay. You know, I don't see greatness there from anybody. So, you know, look, they better have all those horses and all that money and all those draft picks are up front. They better get the job done. And then the defensive backfield will be okay.
Which position group worries you the most? Is it the secondary? Is it the defensive, interior defensive line stopping the run? Like, what worries you most?
I think it's the secondary. Okay. Yeah, I'm concerned about them stopping the run, but they haven't been all on the field together. DJ Reader hasn't played a lot in the team settings. Tremaine Edmonds and Reese have not been, they're just not a lot of snaps out there together. Arvell Reese, they're kind of like you're in, you're out today. So I'm a little concerned about that. They were so terrible last year. I'm kind of like shell shocked about it, how bad they were on the run, but it's still a defensive backfield for me. The outside linebackers are good, really good, potentially great. The inside linebackers are really good, potentially great. I mean, Micah McFadden's a starting player in the league, and he's not going to start for the Giants. That's great. When you have a guy who's a starter who's not starting, that's great depth. The defensive backfield still. I mean, they have to prove it to me that, they're a really good unit, not just a unit that will be really good only if the front guys are getting to the quarterback.
All right. We look forward. When is the prediction issue coming out from the New York Post? When can we expect you to make your season record prediction?
You want me to do it tonight?
Sure.
I'm not going to. No, don't answer that. No,
I didn't think you were. I just was asking you when you were prepared to do that.
I can't scoop the NFL special section we're going to be running.
That's
I think
I
it's the Saturday before the season or something like that.
All right.
I haven't put everything in my crystal ball yet, to get it exactly, quote unquote, right.
What did you pick? What did you predict last year, by the way?
Well, I think I was just looking at it the other day. I think I predicted 7-10 last year. So I'm
A bit of an optimist.
I'm a cockeyed optimist, I guess. what I mean? So maybe I'll pick 4 this year, and then, it'll kind of come full circle,
There you go. Paul Schwartz covers the Giants for the New York Post, does a great job. Paul, always appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Lori.